Well, happy Sabbath, everybody. Good afternoon to all those on the web. Hope everything's coming through okay. The title of my split sermon today is Bright Lights of Darkness. Sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it? Bright Lights of Darkness. Mankind has, since the time of Adam's transgression, of partaking of the forbidden fruit, up to the future time of Christ's return, they have been swayed. They have been placed in spiritual darkness. And who did that? We all know that it's Satan the devil, the great deceiver of all mankind. Have you ever noticed that after the Feast of Tabernacles, that Satan has all of his holidays, the holidays that really have no purpose for mankind, things that people have been swayed to celebrate, thinking that it's okay, that it means something to them. It's tradition. Their families did it, so we do it. They do it. Such things as Halloween, Christmas, New Year's, Valentine's Day, Mardi Gras, St. Patrick's Day, Easter. All of those come after the Feast of Tabernacles. And here we are, knowing that God has told us not to be of this world. Starting verse 14, Matthew 5, verse 14. This is Jesus speaking. It says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." And we are, by us not celebrating, by us not decorating, by us not being part of the parties, you know, the times that are occurring around us in this season, we are very visible. People ask questions at office parties. Why aren't you partaking of the office party? Why aren't you wearing, you know, the ugly sweater contest for Christmas holiday? Why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? We explain that to people that ask questions. They just shrug it off because, oh, well, it's whatever the answer may be. They're already focused in on what they're going to be doing. Matthew 5, verse 16, we also read, "Let your light so shine." that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. As his begotten children, we have been called to walk in the light, just like Jesus Christ. If you're still in 1 John 1, continuing in verse 6 and 7, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So we cannot be walking in darkness. We cannot be participating in things that reflect darkness. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. To avoid the bright lights of darkness, we are to truly digest. We are to meditate. And we are to apply our studies and reading of God's Word, to apply it effectively in our relationships and daily actions. You know, just like we're to eat every day our physical food for the nourishment of our bodies, we're to be digesting the spiritual food that God presents to us, that God is making clear to us. We're to digest that and meditate on it. Timothy, chapter 1, verse 6. 2 Timothy 1, verse 6. Wherefore I put you in remembrance, that you stir up the gift of God, which is in you by the putting on of my hands. So what is that gift of God? It's his Holy Spirit that's working within us. We are the temple of God. We carry God's Spirit within us. So we are not to be serving darkness. We're to be serving the light of Jesus Christ. We need to work at staying away from the bright lights of darkness. The confusion found and fostered off on this world by Satan the devil, who is the author of confusion. And we must not be caught up in that confusion. We're to be working towards that, to stay fresh, to stay alert. We cannot be caught up in that confusion that Satan creates. And he creates it because he's the ruler of this world. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You know, we're to be diligent. We're to be watchful. Because the many forms of media, technology today, the various celebrations that we see, all of this is being swayed by Satan and Satan's deceptions and his influence, the prince of the power of the air. We cannot allow that to cause us to stumble. We must not allow it to cause us to stumble and drift from following God. You know, we have a lot of work ahead of us, but it's worth it. God helps us guard our mind, but we need to be careful. We need to be careful how much of the world we allow into our lives, because it's up to us whether we allow it to come in or to block it out, but with God's help. In 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3, it says, "But the Lord is faithful, who shall strengthen you and keep you from evil." And we definitely need that. The Lord is faithful, as well as we should be faithful and trusting in God to do what He says. In 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 15, it says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." Verse 17. "And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever." So we constantly tell ourselves, we need to be doing the will of God. Because God is definitely wanting us to succeed, to be a very part of His family. As Mr. Keeler spoke about during his message about that love, that God is love. We are to be of love as well. The world has been unwittingly compromised. It has. decorate it. But when I met my wife, one of the things that her dad mentioned me, because by then I didn't really care for the, you know, Christmas celebrations, he showed me in Jeremiah 10. You may be familiar with that, where it talks about the axeman going out into the woods, chopping a tree down, bringing it home, standing it up, decorating it. He showed me that in the Bible. That was one of the first scriptures that someone had showed me that that particular holiday was not right. Interesting. It was very interesting. And it made sense. It made sense. It was there in the Bible. I'd never really seen that before. So, you know, just some of the things that people are deceived out there. They don't know they're doing wrong, but their eyes are not being opened. They have eyes, but they don't see. They have ears, but they don't hear, because Satan has closed that off. God's not revealing that truth to them yet. People in the time of Christ, they were even confused to the point by Satan. You know, the Pharisees, we can read in Matthew 9. This was God in the flesh, Jesus Christ. Matthew 9. How confusing. How ridiculous is that? In Matthew 9, verse 32. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spoke. And the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. Verse 34. But the Pharisees said, he cast out devils through the prince of the devils. Yeah. Confusion, deception. Why did they think that? Because they were deceived by the father of lies. And who is that? Satan. Because in John 8:44, we clearly read that statement in John 8:44. Christ speaking again, where he says, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Speaking about Satan. We know Satan as the prince of this world. You don't need to turn there, but in John 14, verse 30, that's where it talks about Satan being the prince of the world. But in 2 Corinthians 11, if you would turn there with me, 2 Corinthians 11, the bright lights of darkness. We see in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13 through 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel. Don't marvel at this, because for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. That's why Satan utilizes every tool that he has. And some of those tools are bright lights. That's why I titled the sermon, The Bright Lights of Darkness. It's very deceiving. The lights are very beautiful. They attract. They draw you in. They get your attention. But it's the attention that Satan wants, that's darkness. To put that veil back over your eyes. If he can succeed in doing that, he will try and he will continue trying. He's also known as the prince of the power of the air. transmitting these messages constantly, and we are to be on guard. Ephesians 2, verse 2 talks about the prince of the power of the air. Well, Christ is the spiritual light of the world. In John 6, verse 12, or excuse me, John 8, verse 12. In John 8, verse 12, again we have Jesus speaking, saying, I am the light of the world. And what a marvelous light that is. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He is telling us, and he has shown us, that we can have that light of life, of eternity. In John 1, starting in verse 4, if you're still in the book of John, just turn back to John 1, starting in verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And we are to be partakers of that life. God has called us to be partakers of that. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. Comprehended it not. You know, Christ was a true light, which lights every man that comes into the world. Christ was in the world. He came here, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. That's in verses 9 and 10. Verse 11, he came into his own, and his own received him not. They rejected him. We cannot afford to do that. His truth has been known to us. We need to be accepting of that truth. We need to be following through on that truth and living it each and every day. In 1 Peter, Corinthians 6, 2 Corinthians 6, starting in verse 14, talks about, be you not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? That's why we're to not to be participating in these holidays, these celebrations. And what concord or agreement has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believes with an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So, wherefore, come out from among them, and be you separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. That unclean thing is all around us, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. You know, we're coming into a new age of light. When Christ returns, it's going to be a marvelous time. All these bright lights of darkness will be replaced with the bright lights of Christ, the bright lights that God intends for us to be part of. We will be parts of that light. We will be there with Christ. The darkness will be turned off around this world because God's Spirit will be poured out on everyone. And as I said, we will be part of His family. We will be there assisting the teaching of bringing those that survive the Great Tribulation, that are born during the thousand-year millennium, that are brought up the last great day, the eighth day. They will see the great lights of life, the great lights of truth. There's never to be, after that point of Christ's return, any more great lights of darkness.